It's like my biggest dream just came true. I mean, I've been my goal since I was a little kid, and I've been training for it for years now, and I mean, finally came true. It's just like a huge weight off my shoulders.
I've been looking to do this for a long time. Failed freshman year in the semis. Big loss last year, as everybody knows, and I spent 365 days for this moment. All the hell I've went through, all the hard practices, all the rough stuff since last year, it's paid off. This feels really good, and especially to dominate. I didn't want to just win. I wanted to dominate, and I think I did a pretty good job. I could have scored some more points, but.
To be honest, I hope they don't remember anything. I hope that they remember me for my college and international career that I'm about to achieve, and yeah.
Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I am glad you're here. Welcome to a special edition of the Weekend Freestyle, where we're basically just going to recap the 2021 State Wrestling Tournament. That was really the only big notable wrestling thing that happened this weekend, at least as it pertains to Iowa wrestling. So we're going to break down all three team races, each finals match, offer some thoughts on some of the breakout stars from this past week. We've also got some interviews with wrestlers and coaches that we caught up with over the course of the week that we're going to lay down here for you guys on today's show. Before we get rolling, I wanted to start with this. This state tournament had the opportunity to be one of the best we've seen in recent memory. It had the potential for epic team races, tremendous individual performances and matchups, and it all arrived kind of as the culmination of a wild, wacky, and weird season where COVID-19 kind of forever hung over these wrestlers and coaches and schools all year long. And guys, this state tournament lived up to the billing. The Class 3A team race was not decided until late on Saturday night. There were dozens of tremendous and explosive individual matchups that, in any other year, would have probably contended for the main event of the final round. We got to see Centerville's Matthew Lewis become Iowa's 29th four-time state champion, and we saw countless of others all-time competitors end their careers in style, and others emerge as superstars throughout the week. If you were able to be in the building at all over the course of the week, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I know that there were smaller crowds, and it was a little weird in smaller moments, but those that were in attendance brought that same energy that's helped that tournament become one of the best in the country for nearly 100 years. If you weren't in the building, I hope the coverage from myself and the many others that were all there all week helped you guys understand how amazing it was. And hopefully our coverage was able to bring you that same energy that we were feeling while we were on the floor. My hope is, even if that didn't do the job, that maybe this podcast will do the same. We will start with Class 3A and work our way down, but this is also probably the best place to start because Iowa's largest wrestling class had perhaps the best team race of them all, without question. Waverly Shellrock ultimately emerged over Waukee and Southeast Polk to win their third straight Class 3A team title and their eighth team title in school history. They added this to their state duels crown on Wednesday, but the team title of the traditional tournament wasn't actually decided until Saturday night. When the scores finally settled, Waverly Shellrock had amassed 154.5 points behind two champs, three more finalists, four other medalists, nine total Gohawk wrestlers on the stand. Waukee took second with 146 points, had one champ, three more finalists, five more medalists. Southeast Polk finished third, 143 points. They had two champs, six more medalists. Bettendorf and Ankeny rounded out the top five. The Gohawks finished on top, but this team race never saw any of the top three teams lead by more than 8.5 points over the duration of the tournament. You guys ready for this? After day one, Waukee led by 4 points. After the quarterfinals on day two, Waukee only led by 3.5. After the semifinals on Friday night, Waverly Shellrock surged ahead, but only by 8.5 points. Entering the finals, Gohawks only led by 5.5. During the finals, Waukee came within 0.5 points, but the Gohawks had champs at 152 and 182 pounds that kept the Warriors at arm's length just enough for the Gohawks to claim the team championship. It was a thrilling few days following those wrestlers, their results, and guys, it could have gone any which way during any round of the tournament. The Waukee started really strong, had maybe a couple of slip-ups here and there along the way. The Gohawks finally broke through in the semifinal round. The Rams were within striking distance literally the entire way. They gave themselves a chance entering the final day. It's been a while since we've had a team race like this, and it was a thing of beauty just to watch unfold. Now, the Class 3A championship matches, guys, just like the team race, they were freaking dynamite. We're going to go weight by weight here. At 106 pounds, Joaquiz Carter Freeman completed a perfect freshman season by defeating Cedar Rapids Prairie's Blake Joimo 12-4. Freeman's bonus point win is actually what pulled Joaquiz within a half a point during that final round. So he scored two takedowns in the first period, three more in the third, the last of which led to a couple of back points that secured the major decision. Guys, Carter Freeman's a freaking buzzsaw. He was a buzzsaw all season, went 31-0 this year with 30 bonus point wins. Going to be really fun to watch his chase for history over the next few years. At 113 pounds, Southeast Polk's Nate Jessaroga beat Joaquiz Koufax Christensen 11-4. This was the fourth meeting between the two this season, and Jessaroga won them all on Saturday night. He scored five total takedowns, secured his first individual state title. He finished third last year at 106, a little bit undersized though. This year, full size, 113-pound, big, strong Nate Jessaroga blew through the weight, ended up on top. At 120 pounds, Ankeny's Trevor Anderson beat Hempstead's Chad Bellis 3-2 for his second straight state title. Not second straight state title. He actually finished third last year, but this I thought was one of the cooler stories of the tournament, guys. A month ago, Trevor suffered a gnarly shoulder injury at the Hempstead Duels in Dubuque. He didn't wrestle again until February during Ankeny's regional duels competition. He ended up with a pin that night, and then he went 2-0 at districts and 4-0 at the state tournament, where he outscored his four opponents 30-5 to win his second state title. Funny thing, though, when he got hurt in January, that was during the second of what was supposed to be three matches that day at Hempstead. His third opponent was supposed to be Chad Bellis. As it turns out, Bellis navigated the bottom side of the bracket to meet Trevor in the finals, and Trev scored on a third period takedown when Bellis attempted an inside trip. Trevor was able to sink his hips, caught him on his hip, scored 2 points, was able to win the match. I caught up with Trevor afterward, asked him about his shoulder, what was it like wrestling with a bum shoulder, and really just his week in general. Great interview. I hope you guys enjoy it. We're going to lay it down here right quick.
Yeah, lost in the semifinals last year after being a champ your freshman year. What did that loss, how did that motivate you this year to never let that happen again?
That was a quote in my head. Never, ever let that happen again. It was the worst day of my life. So I dedicated my whole summer, my whole spring, training TJ Siebel, all those Siebel guys, Ankeny guys, made me better. Helped my wrestling a lot.
Who did you point up to in the crowd to let them know you want two rings now?
A few of the Ankeny guys from my school. Couldn't find my parents, so I had to point to somebody, I guess.
What's it mean to win this one? I mean, obviously you've been on ones before, but how's this compare?
It's awesome. It's better than the first one just because, everybody had the other guy picked. So that kind of made me mad. Without me again. Proved to him that I can do it again. I faced a ton of adversity with the shoulder, just what happened last year, and came in hungry, won a state title.
Walk me through that third period and that final takedown to win it.
I'm not gonna lie, I was exhausted, but so I forgot that inside trip. He's got really long legs. Just kind of hipped into him, got the takedown.
Did you know it was done at that point?
Yeah, I knew I was gonna ride him out. I wasn't gonna let him out at all.
When do you think it'll hit you? Your two-time champ.
It hasn't hit me yet, but I'm sure it will sometime. I'll let you know.
You got a freshman brother that came down here and played this year. Your other brother, Spencer, who was a state qualifier his senior year. And I believe he did end up placing a senior year, did he not?
He got seventh.
Yep, got seventh his senior year. So, with a brotherly love up there in Ankeny, what's that mean to you to have them in the program and be able to celebrate that stuff?
My younger brother's a sophomore. Last year, he kind of faced some adversity when I was 2, and he came back and got the place. And it's just, I basically think of all those Yankee guys as a brother. I mean, Austin, we have the same last name, but he's practically my brother, Caleb. I've known him since I was, 2 years old, so I look up to him a lot. He's one of my role models. Thank you.
Walk me through the takedown. He looks like he locks up, and he tries an inside trip, and you just put him on his hip, right?
What's funny is I warmed up with Kill Cox down at Hy-Vee Hall, and I told him he's got really long legs. He's a Greco guy. He's from Illinois, so he knows he's a Greco. Wouldn't be surprised if he tries an inside trip, so he worked a few reps on that, and that's what made the difference.
So just on a whim, because of Illinois' Greco reputation, you just thought that might be coming?
He's got long legs, too.
That's impressive, man. Now take me back to January. That gets hurt at Hempstead. I was there. I saw it. What was going through your head maybe that day and the couple of days after?
Well, I got told I'm being a sling for a while. Walked into practice pretty mad, thinking maybe my season was done, maybe I wasn't going to be where I was going to be. Wignall kind of took me after practice, told me, dude, you can win this with a hurt shoulder, one shoulder, two shoulders, whatever it is. You just got to put in the work. That's what I did.
Do you even know how bad it's hurt?
Oh, my arm's numb right now. I can't feel it.
Because I think it was Austin just told me that you guys didn't even go to the doctor because you were afraid that they might just shut it down.
Yep. I got a doctor's appointment in about 6 days, so
Wow. Okay. So how hard was it to wrestle knowing that, I mean, you had to deal with that? I mean, that obviously affected your style, right?
Yeah. I got a lot of guys in there that get me in positions where I don't kind of like don't jeopardize it. Just learn to wrestle differently in different positions. It's helped me a lot.
Definitely. I mean, obviously with the brace too, you guys know where to target, right?
Yep.
How difficult was that this week?
I saw that in that semifinal match. He probably didn't do it on purpose, but he's cranking it. It hurt pretty bad. But I mean, TJ, I mean, you know him pretty well. Told me, just gotta wrestle through it. It's gonna hurt.
Absolutely.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Two-time champ. How's that sound, man?
Sounds awesome.
At 126 pounds, Bettendorf's Dustin Bourne topped Joaquiz Thurman Christensen 10-2. This weight opened up a little bit after Drake Ayala bumped up to 132 for the rest of the year. And Thurman's run to the finals really helped position Joaquiz for a shot at the team crown. But it was Dustin Bourne that got the better of him in this match. After a scoreless first period, Bourne reversed Thurman to his back for a 5-0 lead. Thurman was able to get a reversal to make it 5-2, but then in the third period, Bourne scored a takedown and turned Thurman one final time, was able to lock up the major decision. Heck of a match and a heck of a tournament there from Bettendorf's Dustin Bourne. 132 pounds, guys. The main event, the match of the night, the one bout everybody around the state and plenty around the country tuned in to watch. And it was a masterclass in dominance. Fort Dodge's Drake Ayala capped his legendary high school career with an 11-3 major decision over Waverly Shell Rock's Ryder Block. Block handed Drake just his third loss of his high school career last month, and that spurred Drake to stay up at 132 and finish his career in pursuit of something greater, really, than just a third state title, because that's really what this was, guys. This was about winning a state title and exacting some revenge for sure. But this was about more the pursuit of improvement, about Drake dedicating himself to a process centered on finding and showcasing the best version of himself. This was a test to see what his limits were and if he could reach them. That's what we saw on Saturday night. We saw the best version of Drake Ayala, who cemented his spot as one of the greatest Iowa high school wrestlers in the state has ever seen. He scored a takedown 18 seconds into the first period, added two more in the second period, and then he added 2-2 when Block attempted a last gasp throw in the third period to get the major decision. Now let's give credit where it's due, right? Ryder Block took this challenge head on, and just like Drake, he navigated arguably the gnarliest bracket of the state tournament this year to reach the finals to wrestle Drake. He did not run. He was not scared. He did not run. He wanted it just as badly, and in this process, he's developing a resume that will soon probably be considered as one of the best the state has seen in quite some time. But on this night, Drake emerged victorious. I caught up with him afterwards to discuss his decision to stay up, what it meant to really push himself in a season where he really didn't think he'd have to do that. Always enjoyed talking with Drake over the years, and I think you guys will enjoy this interview as well. Here we go.
Dude, just knowing who you are, didn't surprise me one bit that when it happened last month, that you would decide to stay up at that weight.
Yeah.
What does this state title mean to you, maybe compared to the other two?
I think it means a lot more just because I had something to prove to myself, I would say. I mean, I got beat earlier in the year by him, so yeah. Right.
Definitely. How much more, I mean, did you think you'd have something like this pushing you coming into your senior year, or?
To be honest, no. And I think that's the biggest reason why I did have it. So I'm really thankful for that. And, I mean, I can't thank Ryder enough. And, you know, I know you didn't get the result he wanted, and said this to other people too, but I mean, he's only going to get better. And we're buddies, and we're going to stay as buddies, so.
Absolutely. How much did this kind of, you know, change your senior season, right? Because you mentioned, you know, maybe staying at 26, cruising, but this gave you something to chase, right? This is a little different.
I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, I never feel comfortable, and I just wouldn't feel, like, right. I mean, if I were to stay at 26 and just, you know what I mean? And I just think that moving up to 32 was the best thing for me to grow as a wrestler and a person, so that's why I did it.
Definitely. I feel like not a lot of wrestlers would be able to do something like that, or at least admit that maybe they need to do that, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel like that maybe separates you from other wrestlers?
I mean, I think that's other wrestlers, I mean, maybe need to take note, and I think that they need to do that, you know? I mean, I still got a lot of things to do and that I need to do, but I mean, just doing that, I think that represents where I'm at today and why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I just hope that more wrestlers can do that, so
100%.
Make it more fun for them and the fans, really.
Yeah, where does this mindset come from?
I mean, it was just a household thing. I think we grew up with it. I mean, never backed down, really. I mean, it's just engraved into me, I guess.
Definitely. I know it's pretty immediate, but, you know, that was the last match of your high school career.
Yeah.
Has that fact sunk in yet? I mean, when you hear that, what do you think, man?
It's crazy. I mean, it's sad, but I'm excited for the future. You know, I got a lot of big things ahead of me, so I'm excited.
Yeah. What do you hope people remember from your high school career?
To be honest, I hope they don't remember anything. I hope that they remember me for my college and international career that I'm about to achieve. And, yeah.
At 138 pounds, Iowa City West Hunter Garvin completed his run to a second straight state title. Third period pin over Cedar Falls Dylan Witt. Witt made the finals after a surprise win over Waukee's Cole Ferguson, punctuated by a massive second period toss where he nearly pinned Ferguson. He could not do it that a second time on Saturday night. Garvin cruised to another gold medal. He built a 14-1 lead by the time he recorded the pin in the third period. This was also his third straight trip to the state finals, yet another tremendous tournament from Hunter Garvin. He's going to be back too, guys. He's only a junior, so watch out. At 145 pounds, Southeast Polk's Joel Jessaroga joined little brother Nate as a state champion. He defeated Fort Dodge's Drazon Phillips 6-1. They were tied late in the third period. Phillips went to a body lock, tried for a lat drop for the win. Jessaroga sank his hips, put Phillips on his back for 2-3 and the win. That was Phillips' second straight runner-up finish and Jessaroga's first title. He also is just a junior. At 152 pounds, another big one here. Waverly Shell Rock's Aiden Riggins topped Ankeny's Caleb Rachi 3-2. Riggins connected on a double out of a scramble in the third period. That completed a perfect season for him, 37-0, and his first state title. This was also Rachi's fourth appearance in the state finals, and his only two losses this season were to Aiden Riggins. This was a heck of a match between two high-level dudes. Tons of motion and positions that would have normally led to points against any other high school wrestler. Kudos to both of these dudes for putting it on the line like that. And by the way, Riggins' win here also gave Waverly Shell Rock some breathing room in the team race. We'll touch on that more in a little bit. At 160 pounds, a battle between returning state finalists Valley's Caleb Corbin and Linmar's Tate Nakaborn. Nakaborn took this one 3-2 for his first state title, won on a takedown midway through the third period. Corbin ends his tremendous Valley career as a two-time state finalist, while Nakaborn, just a sophomore, is a first-time state champ. At 170 pounds, Johnston's Caleb Helgeson took down Des Moines Lincoln's Mickey Griffith 4-1. That was Helgeson's first state title. He's Johnston's first state champ since Henry Pohlmeyer won back in 2013, and it was a long time coming, guys. Helgeson had reached the state semifinals each of the previous two state tournaments, only to lose and fall to the Wrestlebacks. This year, he broke through to Saturday night, and his reward was the defending champ in Mickey Griffith. Helgeson beat him for the second time in as many weeks on Saturday night, scored a takedown in the first period, and then a reversal in the second. That capped a tremendous week for the future Cyclone wrestler right there. At 182 pounds, this was the big one, guys. Waverly Shell Rock's McCray Haggerty against Waukee's Griffin Gamble. On top of these two guys being tremendous individual wrestlers, the team race was obviously in the balance, and Haggerty closed it down, 3-2 win based on a third-period takedown, clinching his first individual title and the third straight team crown for Waverly Shell Rock. We obviously caught up with Haggerty to get his thoughts on the result, both individually and for the team. Right after this match, here is what he had to say.
Okay, what's it feel like to not only
are
you state champion, but that win wrapped up the team title?
Feel good. I didn't win it for myself, I went up for the team. But he's a good wrestler. I like wrestling, it's always fun having a good old match. But like he's a, like people are saying, it's gonna be a close duel. But at the same time, don't worry about the team, worry about yourself, and the team points will come.
What'd you see on that takedown, man? I mean, it looked like you guys were finding openings, but just weren't finishing.
Well, yeah, I took shots on him earlier in the match, and I knew he was strong. So I was waiting for a good opening on his left leg because I was shooting his right leg the whole time, his back leg. I saw a low level, so I just tried to shoot the low level in circle with it.
How much did the match last month with him, did that help knowing what to feel coming into this one, or?
Yeah, I mean, it did. I knew he liked his lefty collar tie, and I had a clear wrist to get to a shot. And yeah, I was just doing stuff against me too, because he knew what I liked to do and everything, so he's pretty good at that. But it's still good.
Definitely. You guys wrapped up the team titles the previous 2 years before you got to this point. Yeah. What was it like having it come down to Saturday night? I mean, fourth of the last weight, right?
Yeah, it was pretty stressful, I'd say. I knew he was their last wrestler for Waukee. And if I would have messed up, he could have got the lead for him. So I knew I did wrestle good, wrestle fundamentally, and just wrestle my own match.
State champ, how's that sound?
Sounds pretty good to me.
At 195 pounds, Iowa City High's Ben Keeter won his second straight state title. 5-0 win over Waverly Shell Rock's Jake Walker. Scoreless first period, but then Keeter was able to turn Walker for 3 back points in the second and then scored a reversal in the third. Last year, Keeter won at 160 pounds. Not only is that, I believe, the heaviest a freshman has ever won a state title in Class 3A, but I also think his 35-pound jump is the largest in a weight a largest jump in weight a multiple time winner has ever made between back-to-back state titles, if that makes sense. Pretty impressive, though. By the way, he's just a sophomore. That's two. At 220 pounds, Bettendorf's Bradley Hill, he beat Waverly Shell Rock's Luke Walker 5-3. Hill scored takedowns in the first and second periods to beat Walker for the second time this season. And this was pretty cool, too, guys. Hill, he actually started the year at 195 and decided in January to bump up to 220 after an injury opened up the spot in Bettendorf's lineup. And then he was able to cap the whole thing off with a state title this past weekend where he beat Walker after Walker beat Runyon on the other side of the bracket. He is also just a junior. Watch out. Finally, at 285 pounds, a rematch of last year's heavyweight state championship match between Bettendorf's Griffin Little and Abe's Gabe Greenlee. Greenlee won this matchup last month at Urbandale, but Little got him back on Saturday, scored a second period takedown to win it 3-1. That's back-to-back titles for Little, three champions for Bettendorf. Heck of a run for Little, who's headed to Iowa to play football. Here's what he had to say after his second state title.
What I've ever worked for is that two titles, and I'm just happier than ever to see us have three finalists and three state champions, and that hasn't been done since Freddie Stroker and that crew, and it's just really exciting to do that another time, and I'm just excited going forward for all these guys, Bradley and Dustin, and all these younger guys coming up, because I just want as many state champs for Bettendorf. I want this program to be back up, and I just want to be on top again.
To do it your senior year, how special is that?
It's super special. I've had a lot of injuries. My thumb's been torn for two seasons. I got both two labrums torn. It just means a whole bunch to just get out there and get after it and just beat these guys with all these injuries and persevere through it all. And it's just really exciting to see Bettendorf come out on top again. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Did you know just one takedown would do it? Did you feel if you could just get that one takedown?
Yeah. During the second period, I told my dad, I need to get that takedown. If I don't get that takedown, it's going to go into overtime. And it would have been tough to ride him out. And I just knew I had to get it. It was a huge takedown, and it's been what I've working on all season. I've been getting in deep water every single day with Bradley Hill, and he's been a great partner for me. And I just wish I was there another season just to work with him, because he's such a great guy.
You know, going into the day that you're going to be waiting a long time, and you know it's unfortunate that the heavyweights kind of have to figure out how to mentally, you know, stay in lock the whole day. I know you've been here before. How was today? Just waiting for this and waiting for this opportunity.
Just waiting for the whole day. I was so anxious. I woke up at like 5:45 this morning. We came to the building. We got in a 45-minute workout. And after that, it was just waiting. I tried taking a nap. I couldn't. Bradley kept waking me up, actually, because he was so excited.
It's a long day.
It's a really long day, but it's worth every bit of it.
We're moving on to Class 2A, where West Delaware lapped the field to win its second traditional team championship in 3 years. That success goes in tandem with their three straight state duels crowns. There's a reason they've been the 2A team to beat for the last few years, guys. They've been unbelievably good, and they were especially good this past weekend. Scored 150 total team points, 11 total medalists, and two champs, with Wyatt Boker at 95 and Carson Petlon at heavyweight. Four more finished in the top five. The combination of depth and talent is what led the Hawks to the team title this week. They brought 11 wrestlers, and all 11 of them ended up on the podium. I said before the week even started that if they just did what they did and wrestled how they know how they've been wrestling all year, there wasn't another 2A team that could hang with them. The final results looked like this: 31-19 overall record from their wrestlers, and that included a 7-0 record in the blood round, guys. They scored 21 bonus point victories, including a tournament-high 15 pins across all three classes. A year ago, West Delaware's best place winner took third, and they went 19-27 overall, 3-3 in the blood round. A complete turnaround from last year's state tournament. Here is what head coach Jeff Voss had to say about his team's performance this weekend, which, by the way, they officially mathematically clinched the team race on Friday night. That's how good they were this weekend. Here's Jeff Voss.
Well, I guess let me start with this. How do you feel like they wrestled overall? I mean, really, not just today, but the last couple of days. Everybody's on the podium.
Yeah, our kids are responding to whatever comes their way, and we've talked about that all year. It's, you know, you can't. There's certain things you can control, and how you respond to different things is that. So up to this point, we've responded well, and we're scoring points down here. We're scoring bonus points, and. That's what we got to keep doing.
Absolutely. What's been the most impressive part about this team this season?
Well, I just think anytime you face adversity, if you got good people around you, you can achieve a lot. And we got a great wrestling family at West Delaware, and we've all faced some adversity, and they've leaned on each other, and that support has helped them get better each time we stepped on the mat. So I think that's a big part of why we've gotten to where we're at, just because they care for each other, and they're wrestling for each other in our community, and we got a great community at West Delaware, and they've given us a lot of support over the years, and the kids are feeding off that.
Yeah, when you say adversity, is it last year, or is there something else? Or because I know that last year, kind of just talking to the guys, that left a sour taste, right?
Well, last year's last year, and right. We haven't talked about it one second during the season, so I'm not going to start talking about it now. So the adversity, it could be anything, and it could be a loss, or it could be a bad practice, it could be a snow day, whatever it is, the kids have responded to it, and when you do that in the right way, you can achieve a lot of things, and that's what they're doing all year.
Absolutely. Last question I want to ask you was two finalists, Wyatt Volker and Carson at heavyweight. Mm-hmm. What have you seen from those two dudes this year? They seem like they have taken their wrestling to another level.
Well, I think it's what you've seen out of our whole team. You know, our kids have gotten better all year, and the way they're wrestling right now is better than they were a week ago. So we've had great practices. The teammates are trying to make each other better every time we step into the practice room, and that's what we're seeing on the mat.
Behind them, Osage, the returning state champs in 2A. They emerged from a pretty hefty pack there to take second. They scored 96 points. Guys, that total would have been good enough to win Class 2A 5 of the last 6 years. And the 1 year it would not have been good enough to win, it would have finished second by a half a point. That's how good Osage wrestled this week. They had one champ, two more finalists, two more medalists. Independence finished third with a pair of champs with 81 points. The Class 2A state title matches were just as tremendous, guys. So again, we're going to go weight by weight. At 106 pounds, Roland Story's Cade Bloom made history, guys, becoming just the third state champ in school history, and first since Luke Sampson won at heavyweight in 1996. He defeated Williamsburg's Gavin Jensen 6-4 in sudden victory to win on Saturday night. Scored a takedown midway through the first overtime period to win it. Keep an eye on that one, guys. Cade Bloom is just a freshman. At 113 pounds, Webster City's Cam Petsenpom won his second state title, defeating Crestwood's Anders Kittleson 2-1. Kittleson, he won that matchup in the district finals a week earlier, but Petsenpom reversed it on Saturday night, had a penalty point in the second period, and then an escape in the third to score two. That's all he needed to win. These guys were about as even could be this season, but Petsenpom gets it when it mattered most. Hope we see these guys go at it next year as well. 120 pounds, McKinley Robbins from Greene County, guys. He broke through and got it done over West Burlington Notre Dame's Blaine Frazier. He won a 7-5 thriller on Saturday night. Robbins scored takedowns in the first and second periods, then added a reversal in the second after giving one up, so he was able to trade two for two there to keep his two-point advantage. Robbins was a state finalist last year, losing to Petsenpom at 106. This year, up at 120, he is a state champion. At 126 pounds, Crestwood's Carter Falsick kept his chase for history alive with a 6-4 win over East Marshall's Dominic Ridout. Carter connected on two first-period takedowns, added another one in the second. That's his third straight state title, guys. He's now in position to potentially win a fourth next season, and he's not the only one either. We'll get to those other guys in a little bit, but for now, here's Carter Falsick after winning a third state title.
Carter Falsick, Crestwood, now three-time state champion. How are you feeling right now?
Pretty good. I mean, it's always been my goal, and I'm one step closer to what I want, so it feels pretty good.
What has the process been like to get to this point, winning the first, the second, and now the third?
One thing I live by that my coach always tells me, he'll tell me as soon as I walk up to him after this, he says, the next one's the hardest one. And I always believe that. So I tell myself the next one's the hardest one, and that I know that I need to work even harder than I did the previous year to get the next one.
So at the end of the year, cool moment a lot of people know about, where you gave up your number one ranking for a week for Logan Locke. He would have been a senior this year.
Yeah.
you know, what sparked that? What made that happen?
We've always been friends with their family and things throughout wrestling, just seeing them at long tournaments. I was never really one of his best friends, but I always knew him throughout wrestling, and I thought it would be a good idea to give back to the sport and to his family. So I thought it was pretty cool.
So another one, yeah, I know you got a friend in Minnesota who's real sick right now.
Yeah, it was one of my friends that I used to hang out with him every day, all day when I was younger, and then figured out a month or so ago that he had cancer. And I just, ever since then, I was dedicating the rest of my year towards him. I'd always wear that shirt with the Salto Strong in the back, and that just represents him.
At 132 pounds, Independence's Brandon O'Brien put forth the most clutch performance of any state finals match on Saturday night. He beat Osage's Avery Abin 4-3 in overtime for his first state championship. They were scoreless through the first two periods, but a second stall call gave on Brandon O'Brien gave Abin a 1-0 lead in the third. Then Abin led 2-0 on an escape, but Bob hit a nasty elbow pass to score a takedown at the gun to force overtime. Nothing in sudden victory. Then Bob ribes Abin out to in the first tiebreaker, the first 30-second rideout, but gives up another stall point before the second. There, he hit a reversal at the gun to win that match 4-3. Brandon O'Brien, guys, he finished second at 106 last year in Class 3A. Then he ended up on top at 132 pounds in Class 2A this year. Unbelievable finish for that guy. At 138 pounds, another Independence wrestler, Isaiah Weber, finally broke through and won his first state title. He defeated Centerville's Nathaniel Ginobana 2-0. Weber had finished second each of the last 2 years, but scored on an escape and a stall point in the third period to finally win a title. Ginobana, meanwhile, capped his tremendous Centerville career as a four-time state runner-up. He's just the second wrestler in state history to finish second four times. He would not be the last even this weekend. We'll get to that more in just a minute. Because at 145 pounds, more history. Centerville's Matthew Lewis, Ginobana's teammate, he became the 29th four-time state champ in Iowa history. He defeated Osage's Nick Fox 3-2. Lewis rallied from an early takedown from Fox, scored an escape and a takedown in the second period, and then he used a mean third period right out to defeat Fox and make history. The smaller crowd did not dampen the moment either, as the 5,000 or so fans inside Wells Fargo Arena gave him the standing ovation reserved for this particular accomplishment. Now, there's a case to be made that Matthew Lewis was perhaps the quietest four-timer in state history. He did not come from successful lineage like Lisbon's Cale Happel, who won his fourth title last year. He did not have the national accolades like a Corey Clark or a Max Thompson and so many others before him. He did not have the neat story like Brody Teske and Alex Thompson, who wrestled each other and beat each other, trading wins against each other before they both won their fourth state title in 2018. Even on the night that he won his fourth state title, Lewis was not even the main event. He ceded that stage to the Drake Ayala Rider Block Melee in Class 3A. But Matthew Lewis, guys, he was a winner. He was a grinder. He found a way, even as he lost to other wrestlers during the regular season, both in his class and outside of it. His first title required an overtime finals victory. His third required a one-point semifinal win. His title run this past week needed two of those, one in the semifinals, another in the finals, both 3-2 results where he had to ride out his opponent the entire third period in order to win. Guys, he literally had to keep another grown man down on the mat for two whole minutes, not just to win a state title, but to even get to Saturday night's finals. That's how we should remember Matthew Lewis. He was a winner. He was a gutsy, mentally tough winner. It doesn't matter how he won his four state titles, only that he did. In more than 100 years of Iowa high school wrestling, only 28 wrestlers had ever done that before him. Now he can add his name to that list. Here's what Matthew Lewis had to say about his historic accomplishment on Saturday night.
Wrestle, winners win. Yeah. You just found a way to win. You keep finding ways to win.
Yep.
What's that mentality?
I mean, a win's a win. I mean, whether it's you go out there and pin him 10-0, I mean, 1-3 or whatever, a win's a win. I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't have anything to complain about if you won, so.
What looked like a lot of relief on your face when that final whistle went off? What went through your mind?
It was like my biggest dream just came true. I mean, I've been my goal since I was a little kid, and been training for it for years now. I mean, finally came through. It was just like a huge weight off my shoulders.
How did you fight through this loop to get this done?
I fought through an injury in my arm that happened last year, and I mean, it's been bothering me here and there, but I go out there and I mean, I just tell myself it's not gonna affect me, and I just go out there and I wrestle my toughest, give it my all, and yeah.
you're the 29th four-time state champion of the state of Iowa. Centerville now has two. What's it mean to join that elite company?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, there's so many people that would love to be in my shoes right now, and I mean, it's awesome. But hard work pays off. So.
I asked you last year, when do you think it'll hit you that you're chasing for? When do you think it'll hit you are for?
It's already hit me. I mean, as soon as I held that last second one on the clock and I heard that whistle, it was, oh man, it was my world just lit up. I was so happy.
Seeing that standing 0-2 add a little bit more?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
How was this day for you, you know, just trying to digest everything and knowing that you would have to wait a little bit just in the order of things? How did you kind of keep yourself locked in, you know, as you waited for what opportunity you knew was coming?
I did some breathing exercises, really kept my heart rate under control and stuff. I didn't get too nervous, so I was trying to just really focus on getting my job done and telling myself I can. I mean, I don't know. And then I had Nate there helping me focus and stuff, us going through everything together, and I mean, it's awesome.
At 152 pounds, Sergeant Bluff Luton's Jack Gockel made his fourth trip to the state finals and finally came away with his first title. He knocked off Winterset's Tyler Brown 10-2. Gockel scored a takedown in the first, another in the second that led to three back points, and then added a third takedown in the final period to seal the major decision. On top of it all, that was also his 200th career victory. What a way to cap an incredible career. Cheers to you, Jack Gockel. We will see you in Ames soon enough. At 160 pounds, Solon's Hayden Taylor won his third state title. He beat Panorama's Wyatt Appleseth 7-2, thanks to a takedown in the first and two more in the third period. This was Taylor's 111th straight victory, a streak that dates back to his freshman season, and it also positioned him to become a potential four-time state champ next season, along with Fausick. Again, they aren't the only ones either. We'll touch on them in a minute, but here's what Hayden Taylor had to say about winning title number three.
That's three. How's this one feel to the last two?
This one feels a lot better. So much more than the last one. Last time I was a little bit disappointed. This time I felt like I just wrestled solid. Didn't give up any positions, and I just wrestled solid and won the match.
How important was it for you to finish on top with that last takedown?
There was like 15 seconds left when I looked. I was like, I have to put an exclamation point on this. I need to score another one. So I got my motions going. I scored another one. I think that's what made me feel the best. And I took him down at the end.
That kid's pretty long and lanky. How was that a challenge stylistically just within the match?
Usually the long and lanky kids can ride me pretty well on top, but this year I've never gotten ridden out for more than 30 seconds, I don't think, when I've picked bottom. And that's where I made my biggest jumps from this season, or last season to this season, I feel like.
So it's been a long off season. You know, you weren't able to wrestle a lot over the summer. The season, we didn't even know if it was going to happen. But how were you able to make those jumps and make those improvements with COVID going on?
Well, I was up in the room training with TJ Siebel and all the great partners that they have up there. And I got in one tournament in July. And I don't know. Just making jumps, workouts on my own, whatever I can do.
So you made it here again with your buddy Gage Martin. I know that is a real special bond there. What's it mean for you and Gage to be here today?
It's a great feeling. You know, Gage didn't get what he wanted. He came here to win the freaking thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, he did better than he did last year. And I think he's, you know, okay with that.
At 170 pounds, New Hampton's Carson Babcock breaks through, finally wins that elusive state title, beating Bishop Heelan's Mitchell Jones 7-0. Babcock outscored his opponents this week 22-4, and against Jones in the final, he scored a takedown in each period. Babcock, he qualified as a freshman, missed out as a sophomore, took fourth last year as a junior, and goes out on top this year as a senior. Carson Babcock, a state champion at long last. At 182 pounds, one of the better finals matches all night, regardless of class. Osage's Spencer Mewberry defeated Union's Adam Aronson 6-4 in sudden victory to win his first state title. These two guys combined for five state finals appearances between them, and Aronson actually won a title last year. He was a finalist as a sophomore, finalist again this year. Mewberry was a finalist last year, was able to get it done this year. He struck first with a takedown in the first period. Aronson was able to tie it 4-4 with a takedown in the third, and then he rode Mewberry out to force OT. Then Mewberry scored two out of a scramble to win that match. These two guys are both headed to the Division I level up next. Aronson's headed to UNI. Mubarry's headed to North Dakota State. So, hey, Big 12 Wrestling Conference right there represented in that match alone. Here's hoping this isn't the last time those two guys square off. Here's what Mubarry had to say after his big finals win.
Oh, yeah. State champ, man. How did that sound?
Awesome. I mean, it's been a dream since I was little. Finally got it done. It's awesome.
Definitely. Walk me through that third period, right? He lets you up. He scores. What's kind of going through your head through that final minute?
That wasn't an ideal. I didn't want to get taken down. I knew I was a better wrestler on my feet and accomplished it. It was awesome. Got the job done. Let's go!
Absolutely. How crucial was that takedown in the first? Just getting on the board first.
That was my goal, going to the second period 2-0. That didn't happen last time. I went into the second period down 3-2. I knew if I went in 2-0, I had a great chance of winning that match.
Definitely. Stomach clearly didn't hurt this time around.
Felt great. Coach was leading me all day. Kept telling me I was a state champ. Came out and proved it. Mission accomplished, baby.
Absolutely. That kid, Adam, going to UNI. You're going to North Dakota State. Future Big 12 rivals there, potentially. What does it say about, you know, your overall growth as a wrestler, right? Being able to make the gains you've made the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I have the best coaching staff in the state. I firmly believe that. Tons of talent, tons of knowledge. They've helped me become who I am today as a person and as a wrestler. And this has been a goal. We've been knocking on the door a lot. Osage wrestlers, Nick Fox and Avery Abner, we're so close too. They've worked their asses off too, and they deserve it. Didn't happen today. Nick Fox will be back, and Avery's going to do great things with Upper Iowa.
Absolutely.
And we just keep chasing greatness. That's what the Osage wrestling team's all about. Community is awesome. They always believe in you.
Absolutely. Mubarry's a name from Osage. There's a lineage there. How nice is it to, you know, do you guys have a wall that your name's going to go up on? I mean, that's got to be cool.
We have a wall right in our gym. Every single state champion's on a wood plaque. We have it in our wrestling room. Every single qualifier and place winner. It's awesome. Going down as one of the best. Two-time finalists, two-time medalists. It's a great feeling.
Definitely. All right, what does it mean to go out on top, too?
I mean, it was everything. Last match was a Green Devil. I had some ups and downs this year. I didn't wrestle my best all year, sometimes all year. I mean, those tough kids, I lost a lot of tough kids. Lost to Adam. Stayed on course. Worked out hard. Ate good. Nutrition was key. Coaches was key. Believe, man. I believed it. Got it done. Visualized it.
100%.
At 195 pounds, in my opinion, the breakout star of the 2021 state tournament, West Delaware's Wyatt Voker downed New Hampton's Jacob Reichs 17-7. I know the final score says 15-7 on track wrestling, but if you watch the video, they awarded him 2 right before the clock hit all zeros in the third period, and the folks at the table did not give it to him online. But with that win, Voker capped a week where he outscored his opponents by a staggering margin of 63-23. He was a man amongst boys out there, scoring 27 takedowns in 4 matches while allowing 0. Every point scored against him was a gifted escape. He was 4th as a freshman, 3rd last year, and now a champion with his sights set on bigger things as well. Much bigger things. Here's what Wyatt Voker had to say after his finals win.
Clearly you're in a good mood, man. How's this feel?
I've been looking to do this for a long time. Failed freshman year in the semis. Big loss last year, as everybody knows. And I spent 365 days for this moment. All the hell I've went through. All the hard practices, all the rough stuff since last year, it's paid off. This feels really good, and especially to dominate. I didn't want to just win. I wanted to dominate, and I think I did a pretty good job. I could have scored some more points, but
so same thing team-wise. You guys didn't get what you came here for last year. You know, the team definitely did finish the way they wanted. What's it mean to have all these guys by your side and know that you're bringing home a team trophy as
that
well?
That wasn't for me. That wasn't just for me at all. That was for all my team, the legacy, the name on this damn singlet, that was for West Delaware. That was for my parents, all the money they spent on me for wrestling, my coaches, teammates. That's for all of them.
How much did the last couple years of disappointment, and especially last year just with the team, fuel what you did to get ready for this?
I don't think us as a West Delaware team talked about last year one time this year in the room. We say the same principles every day before and after practice. We say state champs on 3 every day, and we were looking forward to this year. I mean, that match last year in the semi stuck in the back of my head, but it was just motivation, motivation. Dylan Cruz says, like Nate Diaz says, just make them run at your pace and nobody can hang with you.
You outscored your opponents this week 63-23.
It's not bad. I think I beat Mitch Payton's takedown record before the semis, so he had about 258 in a year, and I think I beat it.
Well, where do you think you've grown the most over the last year, or really over the last few years?
My feet, my conditioning, and most importantly right here. I believe I'm the best 195-pound kid in the country, and nobody can handle my pace or anything on my feet. I have the best teammates in the world. And I get pushed harder than anybody in that room. I'm wrestling coaches, state place winners, state finalists every day in the room, and nobody has partners like I do, even at West Ella Room or the Big Game Room.
Well, Wyatt, you've been close before. Now you're a state champion, buddy. Congratulations.
Sounds good. That sounds awesome. Thank you.
At 220 pounds, West Liberty's Kobe Simon soared to first place, knocking off Central Lions' Dylan Winkle 6-4. Simon returned to the finals after losing to Woodward Granger's Cody Fisher last year, and Winkle actually beat Volker in the semifinals on his way to a state title last year. This time, Simon scored a takedown with 20 seconds left in the match to pull ahead for good, securing a state title as a senior. Tremendous season and career for that dude. Finally, at 285 pounds, West Delaware's Carson Petlon put the final touches on a perfect senior season with a 3-0 win over Grinnell's Cameron Stevens. Takedown in the first, escape in the second, and that capped a 42-0 season for Carson Petlon, the perfect punctuation for the Hawks' traditional team championship. Finally, Class 1A, where Don Bosco reigns supreme once again. The Dons won their third straight traditional team title and 14th in school history, and the fourth one under head coach Tom Hogan, who announced a month ago that he would be retiring from his head coaching duties after the season. The Dons also doubled up with state duels crowns on Wednesday. Actually, all three traditional team champs also won state duels this year: Waverly, Shell Rock, West Delaware, and of course Don Bosco. But the Dons amassed 179.5 points, the highest point total they've had in their run of three straight state titles. They had two champs, Caden Carson Tenold at 170 and 182, two finalists in Kale Ronavardi at 45 and Kale Frost at 160, seven more medalists for 11 total podium finishers out of 12 qualifiers. It's always going to be hard to beat that, especially when you add in the fact that Don Bosco totaled 12 pins, five more technical falls. Depth and talent just on display all week. They led by 10 points after the first day, 21.5 after the second day, and ended up winning by 31 points. Just another tremendous performance from Don Bosco. We caught up with Coach Tom Hogan after Saturday morning's medal rounds to get his assessment on his team's performance. By then, they had mathematically clinched it. Here is what Tom Hogan had to say.
It's officially mathematically done before Saturday night. That's got to be a real nice feeling with as many guys as you've got still wrestling tonight, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody kept on saying a different score as things were going along, and we thought we had it, you know, mathematically done, and then somebody came up and said, we need to win this one or lose this one, but, you know, it was going to be hard to catch us anyway, you know, I mean, mathematically, the guys got the job done.
Yeah, this third in a row, how special is this one for you, just with knowing that this is the last one for you?
I mean, obviously, yeah, I mean, it is pretty special, you know, the guys are sending me out on a high note for sure, and you know, the kind of the cool thing is that my first year we won the traditional tournament, and now my last year they sent me out on a high note too. So, you know, obviously those are the guys that won the tournament. You know, I was the head coach of it, but they're the guys that had to do all the work. So, proud of them, and you know, we won a lot of matches that we didn't know if we could win, and you know, to win this tournament, that's what it takes, is winning tight matches, toss-up matches, even getting some upsets along the way, and we did that, and it won us the tournament.
Lisbon put forth one heck of an effort in finishing second, guys. Scored 148.5 points behind three state champs and five other medalists. Their champs were Cade Siebrecht at 126, Robert Avila Jr. at 145, his third title, and Cole Clark at 220, an undefeated senior. Logan Magnolia finished third with 94 points, followed by Wes Sue and West Hancock to round out the top five. On to the Class 1A championship matches, where they were just as exciting and as thrilling as the other two classes. At 106 pounds, West Fork's Cale Peterson blew through this bracket, outscoring his opponents 54-19 en route to a state title. He put up 19 points in the quarterfinals and another 16 in the finals to defeat Missouri Valley's Eli Becerra 16-9. Peterson, another undersized 106-pounder last year, he finished on the podium, but this year, bigger, faster, stronger, and a state champion. At 113 pounds, Nashua Plainfield's Garrett Rinken runs the table this season, going 47-0 and ending his sophomore year with a state championship. He defeated West Sioux's Braden Graff 4-2 in the championship final, and those were the only 2 points Rinken allowed all week. That came on a takedown in the first period, and then Rinken leveled the match with a takedown in the second, and then won it with another in the third period. He was third a year ago, now a state champ on Saturday. At 120 pounds, one of the many highly anticipated finals matches, New London's Marcel Lopez, a two-time champ, took on Lisbon's Brandon Paez, a sophomore and returning state champ. Lopez took this matchup, though, 1-0, thanks to an escape in the second period. Lopez, now a three-time state champ and in position to win a fourth state title next season, along with Carter Fausick and Hayden Taylor. There's one more that can do that. We'll talk to him in a minute, but here's what Marcel Lopez had to say. Very animated, had a lot of things to get off his chest after his third state championship. Check it out.
You get to this stage and all the matches are grueling, but that one in particular seemed like it was, you know, a fight from start to finish. Just how did that one unfold from your eyes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew he was going to come out and with a vengeance. I beat him at his home duel earlier this year, and he knew that, so he came out here and gave me it all. And he's a hell of a wrestler.
Are you surprised that he went neutral?
No, I mean, I probably got the best top game in the whole arena right now, even in the whole tournament. So you're going down and you're not going to be able to get very many points. If not, you're going to get put you back.
At this stage, it doesn't matter how you win, right?
No, a win's a win. No one's going to remember the score. They're just going to remember who won.
I'm looking back at your other ones and this one, and obviously a goofy year, right? But what did you do differently this year to make sure you ended up back at Saturday night?
I mean, I worked my ass off all year. I came in every morning at 6 to lift weights, work on my strength, did pretty much everything you could possibly do, and then some.
Do you feel like you got more that you need to work on too, or?
Oh yeah, there's always something to work on. Everyone can always get better. You just gotta know where to start and what to work on. Like last year, I was very mediocre on my feet. All summer I worked on my feet, and I didn't get a takedown that match, but I know I was close to scoring multiple times.
Turn the focus to number 4?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's been the focus since I got my first one, and even before, but I gotta take it one state title at a time, and all I got left is that 4th.
You've obviously experienced that emotion, when the match ends and you get the big hug and all that. But
part of my French.
Does this year feel any more special just because of the grind and the grueling and the?
Well, I mean, I had a hell of a wrestler in the finals, defending state champ at that weight, so I know he's gonna be bigger than me. And it's state champ on state champ. Don't get better than that.
At 126 pounds, Cade Seabreck joined older brothers Cooper and Kobe as a state champion for Lisbon. Cade defeated Underwood's Stevie Barnes 11-5, had a takedown in the first, a takedown and some back points in the second, plus a reversal, and then another takedown in the third period. That's 3 titles for the Seabreck family, and by the way, Cade is just a junior. At 132 pounds, Cascade's Aiden Noonan ended his phenomenal career with a 3rd straight state title, and even more, ended his career on a 131-match winning streak, guys. Noonan didn't qualify for the state tournament as a freshman, and in response, he never lost again. Took down a pair of defending champs in his final 2 championship matches. Last year, he was the giant killer, taking down Adam Allard and stopping him from becoming a 4-time state champ. This year, he beat undefeated sophomore Gable Porter from Underwood 6-2. Porter won state as a freshman last year, was undefeated for his career to this point, 35-0 last year, 13-0 this year to reach the finals. He actually started the year at 113 and then came back in time for sectionals at 132 pounds. So that's quite a weight jump there for Gable Porter. Still reached the state finals. That included an ultimate tiebreaker win over Logan Magnolia's Hagen Highstand in the semifinals. But Noonan, in the finals on Saturday night, he controlled this match from start to finish. He led 4-0 entering the third period. Porter scored a takedown to make it 4-2, but almost immediately Noonan reversed him and rode him out to win. He is such a hammer on top, guys. Aiden Noonan, one of the great ones. Cheers to a tremendous career, my dude. At 138 pounds, Logan Magnolia's Wyatt Rise took out Wilton's Cale Brisker 7-3 to win his first state title. Rise scored a takedown, a pair of first period takedowns, and then he tacked on another one late in the third period to ice it. 47-2 this season en route to a state championship, and he's just a sophomore, so that's one we're going to want to keep an eye on. At 145 pounds, a Lisbon Don Bosco final between Robert Avila Jr. and Kale Ranavardi. Robert Avila Jr. came away victorious this time, 5-2 for his third straight state title. Yes, guys, he is also now in position to win a fourth state title next season alongside Lopez, alongside Fausick, and alongside Hayden Taylor. Yeah, we could have four four-timers next season, which is a little absurd to think about. But against Ranavardi on Saturday, Avila used takedowns in the second and third period to pull away. This was the closest match he had all tournament after a couple of first period pins in the first and second round, and then he had 29 points on the board in the semifinals against Mount Airy's Trey Elan. Tremendous stuff there. Another great tournament from Robert Avila Jr. At 152 pounds, interesting clash of storylines. On one side, you had Logan Magnolia's Briar Rise, a three-time runner-up seeking his first title. On the other side, Columbus Catholic's Max Majena, an undefeated freshman. Majena came away victorious, 7-5. Majena had a takedown in the first, and then Rise came back with two takedowns in the third period to tie at 4-4. Majena escapes, and then he ices it with one final takedown to win his first state title. Rise joins Gino Bana as a four-time state runner-up, while Majena begins his trek toward potentially four state titles with a thrilling finals victory. At 160 pounds for the third time in as many weeks, Hudson's Tate Intrican and Don Bosco's Cale Frost met in a postseason tournament final. Intrican won at sectionals, and then Frost won at districts, but then Intrican got the final say on Saturday night, winning 8-6 in sudden victory. Intrican led 2-1 after the first period, but Frost battled back with a takedown in the second period for a 5-4 lead to enter the final period. There, Intrican scored a takedown to lead 6-5. Frost scored an escape to force overtime, and there, they locked up on inside control, and Frost attempted a duck under. Intrican caught his other arm and ran him to his hip for 2 points and the state title. Tremendous match once again. And Intrican, by the way, just a junior, so he'll be back. At 170 pounds, Don Bosco finally gets a state champ with Cade Tenold rolling to a 20-5 technical fall over South Central Calhoun's Blake McAllister. Tenold led 7-1 after the first period and then racked up five takedowns in the third to secure the tech fall. He was fourth as a freshman, second last year, and now he's a state champion. And so too is his twin brother. At 182 pounds, Don Bosco's Carson Tenold topped Westwood's Jackson DeWald 3-1 in sudden victory. They traded escapes in regulation, even after Carson produced six mat returns in less than a minute in the third period. I hope you guys have seen that video by now. But then Carson connected on two points at the end of sudden victory for the win. Both the Tenold twins, by the way, they're just juniors, so they're going to be back too. At 195 pounds, another lopsided victory, this time for Western Christian's Tristan Mulder, a 16-0 technical fall over Tripoli's Blake Brock. Mulder capped an undefeated senior season by outscoring his final four opponents 27-0 en route to his first state title. This was also his second trip to the finals. He actually finished second as a sophomore. So what a way to go out on top there. 220 pounds, Lisbon's Cole Clark, he put the finishing touches on his own undefeated senior season, 6-3 win over Hinton's Derek Anderson. Clark went 41-0 this season and went pin major pin to reach the finals, then he scored three takedowns against Anderson to secure an individual title. Finally, 285 pounds, North Butler, Clarksville's Chet Buss repeated as the 1A heavyweight state champ. He pinned Logan Magnolia's Rex Johnson in the first period. He recorded three pins in four matches this week, the only non-pin coming in the semifinals against Lisbon's Brant Baltes. That one was a 7-4 decision. Chet Buss has also gone undefeated each of the last 2 years, 37-0 this year, 46-0 last year. This comes after not qualifying for state as a freshman. He's on that Aiden Noonan track, right? Which is not a bad track to be on at all. Final thing I wanted to say here, and I'll be quick because I know I've already taken up a lot of your time, is the small bit of history we got to see this week. Two girls qualified for the Class 3A state tournament at 106 pounds. Bettendorf's Ella Schmidt and Ottumwa's Jasmine Lukey. They're the third and fourth girls to ever qualify for the Iowa High School Athletic Association state wrestling tournament. Lukey went 0-2 and was bounced on day one, but Schmidt rebounded from a first-round loss with a second-period pin to advance to Friday. She was a win away from making it to the podium. Only Megan Black had previously done that in Class 1A for Eddyville Blakeburg Fremont. Schmidt ultimately fell short, but her and Jasmine's performances were both inspiring in more ways than one. We've talked plenty about the ongoing girls wrestling movement here in Iowa and how it's exploded in recent years, and Ella and Jasmine have both played a role in that, as they were both medal winners at the 2021 IWC Away Girls State Wrestling Tournament this year. Ella won it, Jasmine took third, only after losing to Ella. But even more, their efforts and success is helping to continually elevate the girls wrestling movement. I'm sure you guys all saw the sanctioned girls wrestling shirts that Bettendorf and Waukee wore during Wednesday State Duels competition. They continued to wear those throughout the week, and those shirts soon made their ways to other wrestlers and coaches and fans throughout Wells Fargo Arena as the week continued to progress. I'll also close with this one final thing. After Ella lost her final wrestleback match on Friday, she walked off the mat underneath Wells Fargo Arena, and her hands were on her hips, and she was visibly upset. A few people in the crowd shouted support for her as she walked off, but when I turned to look, I saw a young girl, maybe 5 or 6 years old, standing in the front row, watching her every move. I got it on video, and hopefully you guys have seen it by now, but if not, go check it out. It's on my Twitter page. That little girl watched Ella's entire match and watched her walk all the way through the tunnel until she couldn't see Ella anymore. Then she ran back up to her parents. Guys, Ella Schmidt, Jasmine Luke, and all the other girls wrestling in Iowa are gaining fans every year, but it's the visible impact their success will have on future generations of girls wrestlers that come after them that's going to mean the most. I caught up with Ella this weekend after her victory, which, by the way, was the first pin ever for a girl at the state tournament, and we talked about her match, her success, and the impact she's having on the sport. Here's what she said.
Want to walk us through the sequence there? That looked like it was a pretty quick flurry.
I don't know. It kind of goes by fast, but I just stuck to my stuff and stayed calm, and I knew I had it, so, you know, just stay calm and do what I do best, and I was fine.
Yeah. How does it feel to bounce back after the way that first match went?
It's always a good feeling because, you know, after you lose a match, you're feeling not the best, but I think being able to bounce back shows a lot more than just winning and going home, so it's pretty good.
Only one of four girls to ever qualify. You're now only the second girl to ever even win a match at the state tournament. Has that even set into you? What's that mean to you?
It means a lot, but right now, you know, in a few days I'll be looking back and it's amazing, but, you know, right now I'm trying to focus on myself and my own goals, and not what's happened before, but what I personally want to achieve, so that's kind of where I'm at right now, but pretty soon it will be pretty cool to look back at.
You know, you're one win from placing now.
Yeah.
What does that kind of mean to you?
It just keeps me more motivated, I think. It's definitely just a motivation booster. I just want to go back to the hotel, get down and wake up tomorrow and be ready to wrestle and, you know, win, get on the podium. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about.
Do you think you'd be in this position back in, you know, November, December, when we're early in the season?
I believe I can do anything I really put my mind to, but I think it's definitely helped a lot being in the room with Bettendorf and having so many good practice partners and good coaches to help me throughout the season and help me improve on what I need to improve on. So definitely helps a lot.
Definitely. You're wearing the sanctioned girls wrestling shirt.
Yeah.
Those have been kind of making their way around the arena the last couple of days. How nice has it been to see support like that from not just your team, but everybody?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think it's the same thing for all the other girls that, you know, just want to be able to have a sport to come compete in for next year, because I don't know if you've really been paying attention, but all those girls at state, you know, every single one of them would absolutely come out for wrestling again if it was an actual sport, you know what I mean? I mean, a lot of girls I don't think really find it very fascinating to come wrestle a bunch of boys, you know, it's just not really what any girl wants to do. But just being able to come, you know, go practice, have an actual sport, it's all official, I think that would draw so many more girls. So I'm really happy that people are wearing these shirts just to draw attention to women's wrestling.
Well, and your success, I think, is doing that
yeah.
as well. I mean,
yeah.
are you aware of that, or have you felt that? Or?
Oh, yeah. I just kind of hope that it's doing something.
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes!
What we like to see.
Guys, she's clearly aware of her role in this movement, which is awesome to see from such a young person. Here's hoping her and Jasmine and the rest of the girls wrestlers in this state can keep it rolling. They truly are making a difference. That's all we've got today, guys. Thanks a bunch for listening. I hope you enjoyed this recap of the state tournament. I hope you enjoyed the ongoing coverage that me and so many others have of the tournament, especially if you weren't able to be in the building. I really hope that our energy was able to come through in our stories and our tweets and the videos we were able to post, everything that we were able to do for you guys, including doing this podcast right here. It was such a great time, and I really hope that you guys enjoyed the coverage of it or watching it or following along as much as we did. Be sure to listen to future episodes here and continue to read the work that we're doing. The postseason for wrestling is only getting started, guys. Big Ten is going to be here before we know it. We're going to have multiple national tournaments coming up. The big dance, the crown jewel, the NCAA Division I national championships are coming up in St. Louis in just less than a month at this point. And then 2 weeks after that, we got the Olympic trials coming. So lots of big wrestling still coming up on the way. So be sure to continue to read, continue to subscribe. I thanks in advance for doing both. Be sure to rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your shows. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Goodwin, on Instagram at Cody J Goodwin. Always love communicating with you guys. Be sure to also subscribe. Again, subscribe to the Des Moines Register to catch all my stories, mailbags, analysis, and videos. Guys, we're running a special right now, $1 for 6 months. Surely you can spare a dollar for 6 months of great, great wrestling coverage that we've got planned for you guys coming in the months ahead. Again, you can find links to all that as well as stories from this past week and the state tournament in the show notes. That's it for this episode, you guys. Thank you so much again for listening. We will talk again soon.